DubLab.
Hello, this is Transduction Signal on DubLab Radio, and I'm your host, Tavarsi, along with Orly Gal. She's off gallivanting, playing all over the UK right now, so I am holding us down. Join us each month on DubLab Radio for our show, Transduction Signal. We'll be joined by a featured guest who will share a live performance. We'll go through a short breakdown of their setup, talk about their music, what's happening in their lives, all that good stuff. And this month, I have Robin Kampschuer. I'll have him correct me for that one. But he is based just outside of Amsterdam. He's a composer, a live artist, and he's done some amazing collabs with Speedy J, with Store, and Pink Noise. And we'll get all into that. But let me bring him in.
Hey,
hey Robin.
Good evening. Hello, everyone.
Hey. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I hope I didn't mangle your name too bad.
No, that is
Kampschuer.
Yeah, that is absolutely fine. I mean, I have a lot of people say it in different ways. So yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to listen to your performance, to watch it. And do you want to say anything about it, or should I just hit play?
Yeah, it's a little performance, a short performance. I've been doing this kind of stuff for almost 25 years, and I'd say it's a glimpse of what I do or what I can do in a live environment. And put it on and then let's enjoy it and see what happens after.
Awesome. All right, okay. So I'm gonna mute us up. And
Okay then.
That was pretty awesome.
Thing is that I when I look back or listen back to stuff, then I always think like, okay, maybe I should have gone in a bit a different direction here, or I could have muted that sound earlier or not kept it in, or I could have done that better or different or whatever. But
we're our worst critics.
Absolutely. I think you might have the same. I know a lot of other people that have the same as well. So, yeah, fine. But it's
I love the groove. It was groovy. It was bouncy.
Yeah, and what I always try to do when I play live, I always try to tell a story. But I am also aware that you have to pace your story, not go too fast, not go to go too slow, you know, because I like a certain flow in it that isn't too slow, but people also must be able to keep up with it, you know,
in a way. Right. I have so many questions, but before I start asking the questions, just for people listening that can't see your setup, do you want to just kind of talk about it a little bit, like just say like what you're using and how you're using it, like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think this was a pretty simple setup. I chose for beats drums, I chose a Roland TR-8S, which is for me a very nice performance instrument to program drums live and all that kind of stuff, as you saw me do as well.
Yes.
And for synths, I used the 1010 Music Fireball, which is a wavetable synth from people from LA, a little company. And I love the sound
Aaron
of that.
Aaron is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm and that's what you heard in the first part. And the second part, I used a Microfreak from Arturia that I actually, I cut the keyboard. I took the keyboard off and I put a 3D printed thing under it. So that
nice.
More,
I was going to ask you that.
For traveling, for live things, you know. And
nice.
Those were the bells, like the gamelan Indonesian bells. Those two, the synths were sequenced by for me the amazing Oxy sequencer. So hereby, you know, shout out to Emmanuel and his team for making such awesome.
Yes, you know, great sequencer.
Thanks for
great
them to for being awesome and making this awesome stuff. And what you heard in the second part. As you may know, there are many modes in the Oxy sequencer, so I slowly changed probability stuff and all. So the original pattern with bells slowly changed to something pretty different.
Yes.
And,
yep.
And that was all like by slightly changing values on the probability stuff that's in there, and. That is what I like about that sequence. So you can use the same pattern, and if you apply those things on it that they have, it can turn into something completely different. And and I love that. But what's also very important for me is all these sounds went into a Allen & Heath Zone 96 mixer.
Yeah.
And I really play with the mixer as well, because this is how I make it dynamic. This is how I make the breaks, the sort of build-ups and all that kind of stuff. I do all that with the mixer. And I love it when people play a lot with their synths and with their drum machines and all. But I discovered that people still like breaks and little drops here and there, and I'm not talking about 3 minute big room Coachella drops, you know, but
right,
you know,
yeah,
no,
it's like
no,
you're mixing into yourself, like you're controlling.
Exactly. I'm. So I discovered, you know, live on stage that, that things are like this are like really important for how I want to tell my story. You know, right. Of course, this is for everyone is different. You have many people that focus mainly on synths to improvise. You have many people that maybe focus on drums to improvise. I'm more like playing with drums real time and let synths with LFOs and patterns and stuff do their thing. But personal, I also really like to use the mixer as an instrument as well to help me tell the story that I want to tell, you know, with little drops, little breaks here and there. And for me, this is an ideal compact setup at the moment.
It sounded great. Like, so okay, so question, so what was the bass groove then that was coming from the Fireball? Like a little bouncy bass line kind of happening.
The bass groove, well, I'm using a TR-8S, and the S stands for samples, I think. I've actually loaded my own TR-909 sample set, and it's right here. My real TR-909 is right here. And a long time ago, I made a sample set for that in another drum machine, an analog rhythm that I used to use when playing live. And when I got the TR-8S, I used that sample set. I put it in the TR-8S. So the TR-8S here sounds like my own 909. And then, of course, I added other samples in it as well. Also baseline stuff and all that. And this is what you heard. So
nice.
The groove, the low thing came from the TR-8S. Yeah.
That's really cool. That's what's really cool about the TR-8S. You have like, isn't there like a synth engine in there too? It's like samples and synth engine, the actual. Yeah.
And I know, and I've tried it out in the studio here, and I really like it. And I'm recording this as well for tracks, but I haven't used it live yet, because live that thing is like the replacement for my own TR-909 that stays in my studio.
Got it. Yeah, but you don't want to take out your 909. I mean, I've seen people do it. I've seen people do it lately.
I will if it's a very special big thing that I absolutely know that it also comes to its own right in a way. You know, then I definitely will. But I have to say that the TR-8S is a really, really good machine as well. Also, especially for that money, you know, it's not so expensive. And there are a lot of things like sequencing wise as well that you can do with it that, that are amazing, you know, that are really, really like. So
plus the faders. I mean, they have faders per
this
channel.
This is the reason why I got it. And let me show you for the analog rhythm. You hear a lot of stumbling right now here. I got this one, especially to control the volumes and effects on analog rhythm.
So the Fader Fox. It's like one of the Fader Fox. I have the one with the knobs.
Fader Fox. Okay. Fader Fox MX-12. So faders were for volumes, and those encoders were for the effects for the analog rhythm. So I always needed to bring basically two machines in order to get it working properly. And I thought like, hey, you know, I can do this better. So that's why, or this can be done better. So that's why I got the TR-8S.
Nice.
So it's also more compact in a way than
those
sounded
great.
Yeah.
It sounded good. It's like, loved your own samples added in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a compact setup. And just, I want to circle back with the DJ mixer. Two things.
Yeah.
I want a statement. A friend of mine who's also a live artist recommended, because I was bouncing back between mixers, Euro rack mixers, which I still use and stuff, but game changer. She's like, use a DJ mixer, but you have a DJ background, right?
No, I don't.
No. Okay. So like is your philosophy like help to glue it together and to have that intricate control and bring it to that mastered quote sound?
Yeah, well, I always played live. I started in 1999 because in 1995 I started buying equipment, and by 1999 I felt like a really young guy that I was like, oh, I've been doing this for 4 years, I know everything already, so I should be able to play live on stage as well. So I do this big setup and I went there, and then very quickly I didn't like the 16 channel mixer anymore, because I wasn't able to to do stuff as I wanted. And then back then Jochem Speedy J was already a DJ mixer and was using headphones. I felt like, hey, he pre-listens, you know, before he throws something new in. And there are some mixers, you know, 16 channel mixer, that you can do that as well, but not really the same as you can do with a DJ mixer, feeling wise. And mm-hmm. you know, and then eventually Ellen Anit came out with his own 62, I think. And then I thought,
I still have a 62.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, yeah. But then with the filter and on, and I felt like, hey, yeah, you know, that's cool. And then they came, of course, with the 92, and then I had a 92, and then a DB4, and now the 96. And basically, what I love is the character of that mixer, the way how the EQ sounds, and of course the filter, and I love the workflow that you pre-listen with your headphones, and you make or select a new sound from a synth. You see if this somehow fits into the story you want to tell, you know, and then you know, this is why for me, for my workflow, a DKR mixer is very important. Hang on, I'm not hearing you.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Have you ever tried any other DJ brands? Just other mixers, just to, you know, try and have some fun, or have you always stuck with Zone?
I always stuck with a Zone mixer because I tried out Pioneer mixers from other people, but I didn't like their sound. And okay. the first Pioneer mixer that I do like the sound from is the new one, the V10.
Okay, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
That one is bigger, and that one is also very expensive. So I'm considering to add it in my rider for people to arrange either a 96 or a V10. But before I do that, I first want to have a go on the V10 somewhere so that I can check it out if it's really what I want it to be, you know.
Right. I feel like a lot of venues at this point can always get their hands on a 92 or a 96. It's
because I think right now the 96 mm-hmm. and the Pioneer V10 are industry standard, you know.
Yeah.
So and then for me the advantage is when I'm booked for a DJ hybrid set. I've been doing that since 2016, because then my manager said like, hey, you should go DJ. And I said like, well, all my friends DJ and they do that 10 times better than me. And for me, normal DJ is too limited. And I knew that Jochem, Speedy J, but also Richie and other people were using a laptop with software, and then they added other stuff outboard on top of that. So then I started doing my DJ hybrid sets, but still, basically what I do then is I use my own music and other people's music. I make loops of that in real time, and then I mix that on the four main channels of the Zone mixer, and then on the extra channel I have the same drum machine that I have now, and that is my DJ set.
Nice. Yeah.
So
that's the great thing about hybrid setups. They can just be so many different ways. Like I'm using hybrid setup too, but it's a lot of for some effects and just like playing some of my own stuff, like my own like stems.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly just running the audio through and just,
because
you know how it is. Like, you're carrying so much stuff. Like, how many effects can you carry? But if you run it through a DAW, you can build a bunch of racks, you know?
That's what, like, I do in my hybrid sets. I have the effects on my DAW, and I have this Zone K2 controller, you know, that I control everything, so I don't have to touch the laptop when I'm playing. And a Zone 96, like the DB4 that I had before, they have their own sound card. So I don't need to bring a sound card. I just plug in my laptop through the USB up into the 96, and that's it, you know?
Very nice. Yeah, yeah, it has like two. So awesome.
Yeah, you can even do a back-to-back with two DAWs on the same mixer. So that's, you were mentioning carrying a lot of stuff. In the past 2 years, I've been trying to downsize, a lot of stuff. Also, my live setup, next thing on my list is, again, from 1010 Music, this black box,
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's good.
You have one.
Yes. Okay. It's, well, great.
Okay. Yeah.
I've used it a lot of times in my live setup. Yeah. I've been, the only reason why in this particular setup that I have now, I'm not using it because I have a DAW. I'm using a hybrid. But before that, it was always in there because it's just so easy to just throw stems, have them, you can change the BPM and it'll stay in sync and. Yeah, it's pretty, and it's compact.
Exactly that. Yeah, so that is why I'm thinking if people book me, like, we want you to do a hardware only live set, then that thing would be super super awesome to use. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Surgeon, doesn't he use? I think he uses like one or two or something like that.
Yeah. I know Surgeon, Tony uses one, but it's this other guy called Stimming.
Oh, yeah, Stimming. That's who he uses.
Yeah, two or, and yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many devices. It's pretty cool that, being into hardware, we have a lot of options, although it could give us analysis paralysis, but.
that is true. And I still see people romanticizing old stuff, an original 909 or original 303 or 808 or whatever,
right?
But what I think, if you look now, there are so many little companies like Oxy, 1010 Music, and many others that make absolutely amazing equipment. Mm-hmm. That also, let's be honest, that is much more catered to like electronic music and electronic dance music than a lot of the old equipment that people still romanticize these days,
Right.
So, if
it's someone, more compact, you could replace it, like,
yeah, and very hands-on. Workflow really, really developed, to be hands-on and to do a lot of great stuff with, again, the TR-8S, it's a much more performance instrument than many of the old things, So, yeah.
Totally. So I want to, I heard you mentioned earlier that you've been playing for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And I know you've participated in a lot of collaborative events, and a couple of them. It's actually where I met you last year.
Yeah, we met at ADE in the upstairs room from the store event.
The Pink Noise. Do you want to just kind of talk a little bit about that?
About Pink Noise, Pink Noise is another one of Speedy J's things that come to his mind, and then he thinks like, hey, this is this can be great, let's do this. I'm involved with Pink Noise behind the scenes, and Pink Noise sort of started as a thing. DJs have many online platforms like Her and Boiler Room and all, that they get an online platform to showcase them, and I think that was missing a bit for live acts, Also, I've played at other online platforms, and then when you arrive, nothing is arranged. You cannot put your equipment anywhere most of the time, all that kind of stuff. So Ping Noise was meant as a platform to showcase young or unknown live musicians, mm-hmm. but then in a way that we felt was the right way to showcase them. So one of the spaces in his in Jochem's studio, we converted that to a studio for Very for cool. people to come and visit, and then and then do a 1 hour set, and then also we started thinking like Store Life, we could also bring this to events, you know, mm-hmm. and then of course when Store do their event in Paradiso here in Amsterdam for the best time, and also this year they are doing two nights, and then there's a second room there, and then we thought like, hey, in the second room there we can make that the Ping Noise room. Mm-hmm. And the first time we did it, I think it turned out really, really well. We got a lot of great responses from many people that were seeing these unknown live acts that few people had heard of, you know, doing amazing stuff.
And yeah, that's where I saw, like, well, I met Megan Labor in another context, but that's how I discovered Ping Noise, because she was playing, and then Mandy, Jungle of Wires.
Yeah, Mandy is awesome as well.
Yeah, they both are amazing. And so, I was like, I got to check this out, you know, and that's hence where I met you.
Yeah.
But it's a great space.
You actually met me when I was like very, very serious, because I was asked to do the changeover sets, you know? Mm-hmm. So I did a short ambient opening, and then a Ping Noise act, and then I did two other changeovers. And so I needed to be like, stay on like for the whole night, because I needed to listen what the night was going. So I could appropriately bridge the gap to the next artist. But
talk about pressure, but that's awesome. You have enough experience. It was sounding amazing. But I do remember chatting with you, like, I'm totally improvising right now.
Yeah. But
that
was also me thinking like, oh, let's improvise. Let's not prepare anything, and let's just improvise. And then I also had moments there. I know that nobody noticed, but I definitely had moments there like, I should have prepared a little bit in advance here and there, but fine.
I don't think anybody noticed. No, sounded great. Yeah,
but fine. We all keep on learning, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So wait. So speaking of learning, I know I wish we had a little bit longer than an hour. We're coming up on. We still have some time. So I want to like ask you. I know you mentioned in another one of our conversations about that you do a lot of collabs, but in your hometown, where you actually are helping like younger artists and upcoming artists, like what is that? Do you mind talking about that?
It's a little foundation here. The foundation is called Strictly Live, from some live musicians, but also from some DJs that started doing also live jams with equipment and all, and they do small events here.
That's very
and
cool.
They. Basically, what I'm doing is I let them stick to their vision, and what I do is if they come up with some crazy idea that I know is going to be very, very expensive or difficult to do, or I explain them like, okay, fine, but if you like now all of a sudden within 1 month want to start a record pressing plant. That is going to cost you, if you want to do it cheap, it's going to cost you 200,000 euros.
Right.
You know, and they honestly, in their good, all their good faith, you know, because they're young people, they weren't aware, you know, but fine.
Right.
And all many, many other little things when they do events and all, I help them, you know, if they have ideas, I help them make it into a valid concept that is doable and that is, you know,
like for their live setups. You mean like whether, like, does it matter? It doesn't matter the genre or anything like that.
It's mostly electronic music. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they, also, it doesn't, like, they could do like ambient or techno or house or whatever. It doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. In the widest sense of the, yeah. And basically Pink Noise is the same, like mm-hmm. this. And we also like people who do ambient or all kinds of other stuff. And, there was one act we had at Pink Noise called Mathilde Noble. She was also at one of at the small festival from this local young organization here in my hometown. So yeah, then you know things are connected again.
Nice.
And
nice.
What I love about those young people is that even if their ideas are not always super realistic or whatever, I love that they you know they try to push the ideas, because that is how do you say
it's
that?
Like innovation, like they're
yeah. And if you haven't tried it, you know, you have nothing, you know. So I prefer people to come up with spontaneous things than that they think too conservative and say like, oh no, let's not do it.
You know? Right, it's like creating new rules, like breaking rules and creating new
rules. I love to be part of that as well, and I love to see them grow, get more serious and more experience in things, you know, and I see the quality of their events and their gems and all. I see that improve as well, you know.
Yeah, and that's very cool.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah, we have here one of the founders of Southern California Synth Society. So it's not just young people, it's just, you know, anybody who wants to learn and start playing live or build modules or things like that. But yeah, it's always cool. Really inspiring, you know, to be involved with people in their journey, especially in the beginning. You know, you learn some. I always feel like you learn something too. You know, it's like a two-way street.
So not only are you teaching, but you
learn something.
Yeah, you basically learn something from pretty much everyone, because everyone is on their own journey. It doesn't matter if they're young or old or whatever, or experienced or more novice or whatever. It doesn't matter, you know, because in the end, you all have the same passion. So you all connect with each other on some way. And then, you grow again. You know, this is how I see it.
So this is a question I usually save for towards the end, but since it's a good segue for what we're talking about, which is, what advice then would you give to somebody who's like starting out? They want to start playing live. What's like one piece of advice that you would give them?
What I find very important is to have a lot of fun while doing it. And if they have money for it, I would advise them to buy one hardware synth, one little hardware drum machine, can easily be secondhand, doesn't matter. And dive into effects pedals, also secondhand. You know, get some cheap secondhand stuff somewhere from a brand you have never heard of, because the pedal world is a whole world in itself in what it can do. And if you want to make the plunge in going into modular, try out VCV Rec first, because this saves you a lot of money before diving into modules, because as you know, 100%. Eurorec can get very expensive very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. And in order
especially if you don't know what you want to do, like
exactly, and in order to learn synthesis, which can be a lot of fun, and will also help you with the sound design part, with creating your own sounds. Mm-hmm. This is why I advise people a hardware synth, because I don't want them to end up getting plugins and getting huge sound libraries where they scroll through in order to hopefully find something that they might like. And I think if you have a hardware synth and you start fiddling with that, with the oscillators and the filter and all that kind of stuff, and see what that does.
Yes.
And then you will quickly learn or stumble upon things you like. And when you do it longer, then you will stumble upon those things more easy, because you already know what things do.
Yes, so, and you learn to recreate sounds.
And you know how the parts work. What does an oscillator do? What does a filter do? What does, you know...
the VCA, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is very valuable in the long term to eventually create your own sound, not sound like everyone else. Yes, create your own sound and grow, you know, and grow from that.
Nice. Yeah, I think it makes you a little bit stronger. It's like, yeah, people definitely fall into the plug-in wormhole too, you know, where it's just like and 300 plugins.
It's not always easy.
Presets, which isn't a terrible thing, but it's like, if you don't know what you're doing, it can be very overwhelming and you might not get...
Yeah, and also, like, you know, it's important to keep on having fun. And if it's going to be overwhelming and people start thinking like, oh, maybe this is not for me, then I say, like, well, some of the best techno tracks ever, The Bells, Jeff Mills, is one of the best or of the great, you know, techno tracks ever.
It's like a classic. Yeah.
He used a TR-909 and a Yamaha DX100.
Nice.
That's it. Perfect. You know, and maybe some pedals, and I think a Mackie mixer or whatever, you know. And there are many other great tracks, either in techno or house or whatever genre of electronic music, that have used very little amount of machines and just, you know, turned out great. So, yeah. Sometimes less is more.
Keep it simple. So with your... I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, releasing music and playing live, and you have your own label now? Like,
yeah, maybe I should have done this a long time ago, but in the end, that's in hindsight, and that doesn't work either, looking back. I started it in February. I've released a lot of music on many other labels, great labels. I felt like, I had put an EP earlier on, you know, just my own Bandcamp under my own name. I put some on there, but I felt like, you know, let's do this good. So I started my own label in February. I'm working with a distributor in Rotterdam here. So it's apart from my Bandcamp, it's also on all other download stores and Spotify and all those kind of things.
Got
and
you.
It's called RKM, and
RKM.
And I released my first release in February. I released my second release in August, and there's a lot of new stuff coming up that I'm working on. And
is this a label now that you're focusing on just for your music and just kind of focus there?
For now it's just for me.
Okay.
Eventually, I might also want to release other music from other artists, but I thought for now, I just wanted it to be like a zero compromise label for my own stuff. So, you know, I make something, I like it, I know it's good, and I want it out there without any compromise to any other people that have influence on saying if something should be changed or whatever. So
like the artwork and all that
stuff. I made the artwork myself as well. It's from a painting from one of those young guys that I'm helping out here. he's a painter as well, and he made a black abstract painting, like mainly black and a bit of gray and white and all. And I made like a whole series of close-up photos from that painting.
Oh, wow.
So the artwork for every release is one of those close-up photos. So it is still uniform, like the house style of the label. But because, of course, they are all different photos, they still have each have their own identity.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the story behind the artwork. No, but cool. Label, I find it very liberating.
Because then you don't have the pressures to fall into a specific label sound or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I make stuff. If I like it, I can release it, and then it's out there. And then I send promos out to people, and then I get responses. Luckily, so far, everyone that I send it to has loved it. So great, and I've played
awesome.
It out. And
that's
yeah,
awesome.
You know.
Well, I'm definitely going to be on the lookout. And I will also include the link to the record label in the description and everything.
Yeah.
For sure. Man, like you've done a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, we're almost at the top of the hour. So there's like
many
questions. So we definitely have to do this again.
Okay. My
is there anything that you have a burning desire that you want to share before I ask you another question?
Yeah, not really. Apart from that, I'm working on an album, you know, which is ambient down tempo stuff, working on a lot of other new music.
I know. I like that you're playing different genres because as a composer,
ADE is coming up, you know, I have a gig on a big festival in ADE. And apart from that, there are many people coming to Amsterdam that I want to meet in real time, in real life again, you know, and hang out with. So that's going to be fun, I think. And,
yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm already thinking like, hey, what restaurants can we go to? But I'll let you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, let's see. Like, okay, really quick, how did you get started? I mean, you said like, did you play an instrument beforehand, or did you just immediately
when I was young, I drummed for 5 years in my
okay.
youth. Then in the early 90s, I started going to what they called house parties here. So like raves, but like real raves that were
right.
back then. And then in 1995, I was thinking like, yeah, I've been going to raves for 4 years already. I thought I knew it all.
That's when you said you started buying.
Then I started buying an Akai NPC. Then I wanted better 909 sounds. So I started, I bought a TR-909. Then a TB-303, then an Axis Virus, then of course a big mixer with it to
right. That's how you're saying the 16 channel.
and then I was looking like I have all these equipment, and then in 1999 that was my first live setup as well. And then
wow.
And then
that's
from
awesome.
There it I never looked back in a way. Yeah, that's how it all started.
That's pretty amazing. We definitely have to do this again. And I need to throw out a disclaimer too. Like we're talking about ADE and all this stuff, but
yeah.
By the time people will hear this, it'll be out.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right
yeah.
After.
Okay.
So
that was a bit spontaneous of me, but okay.
No, it's
okay.
Great. Like
okay, yeah.
It's yeah, like I am looking forward to seeing you again, and we'll
yeah,
have
same.
To do this again so we can do the post 80 number
yeah,
two
let's schedule that in sometime later, like do a post 80 thing maybe, and it could be lots of fun for sure.
Yes, well I really appreciate you coming on the show, and we definitely
thank you for
are
having
going
me.
To do this again, like,
very happy to be part of this. Yeah, awesome.
All right. And so my
Thank
name
so
is
much.
Traversi. This is Transduction Signal on Dub Lab Radio. Thank you for tuning in, listening the first Monday of every month.